Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. I am your host, Nekias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. How are you doing, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to be here. Excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. Really looking forward to having a neat and tidy show today, Nekias.
Very cool. I will do what I can to make sure that the show is as neat and as tidy as possible. We are joined by a guest, a famous guest, a world-traveling guest. Oh, yeah, you're getting all of that. What we got? A game show now? You're an influencer? Oh. Car commercials?
Hey, get out of here,
you,
boy. Hey,
you are all over the place. ESPN's Monica McNutt, everyone. How are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. It's always good to come and chop it up with you two gentlemen. Although Steve didn't bring me any snacks. It's fine.
One team, one goal. Sorry.
Wow. Let's dig right in then. Well, we actually have some actual NBA news to discuss to kick off the pod. The Lakers and the Jazz agreed to a trade that was completed earlier today. We're recording on Thursday afternoon. Patrick Beverley is now a Laker. Taylor Horton Tucker and Stanley Johnson is going to the Utah Jazz. Monica, what was your initial reaction when this trade popped up?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, no disrespect to Taylor, THT. And the other gentleman I'm just not familiar with. I'm not even going to pretend I am. But I like it. Listen, the Kyrie thing kaput. You needed a point guard. He's a veteran. LeBron prefers to play with guys with a little bit more experience. I think the Magic Johnson tweet probably sums up most of Laker Nation. Hated him when I was playing against him, but now that he's a Laker, let's go. So now as things happen at this point, it's like, okay, so now, like, what does that mean? The hinge point for me is still going to be LeBron and Russ and what Coach Ham looks like. So, but this is cool though.
Okay. Steve, what about you?
I get the move in a vacuum. I mean, we're going to get this defense right. So if you want to go all in on the defense and the activity, few people, that would qualify more than Patrick Beverley. I think it reinforces the vision Darvin Ham has. It'll get you to stop asking why is Russell Westbrook guarding whoever he's guarding this year. So that'll be fantastic for me personally. I did have a flip side though. This was the cash in for Talen Horton Tucker. That's no disrespect to Talen Horton Tucker. However, he was like the trade chip attached to every rumor the last year, and the result was Patrick Beverley. And also kind of feels like the Lakers are hustling backwards a little bit. Like, you had Caruso and you let Caruso go and you realize you needed Caruso, and then you got Patrick Beverley. Like, also you had Danny Green and you let Danny Green go and you went and got Wayne Ellington. And like, you had JaVale and Dwight, you let them go and you got Dwight back and then you let him go again. Seems like they're trying to get back to the formula. And I don't know.
They're trying to
go, Nekias.
Come on, Monica, give it to me.
Well, you went way back on the reverse tread there. Like, most of those guys you mentioned are foregone conclusions. They're not coming back, and there's no way. I don't want y'all to diss Patrick Beverley in as a piece of this roster.
Oh, no. Never that.
Right?
He's key for this.
Yeah. But I feel you. Hindsight is 50-50, 20-20, what I've been saying is, I got you.
What's the vision? Like, I keep feeling like y'all had something and y'all keep trying to get back to that with different pieces.
Yeah, they are. They have this thing where they want a title. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Yeah, exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
We agree that the process or formula may leave some question marks, but what else are they, like, you got a better move that they could have made?
Oh, no. It's a solid move. Patrick Beverley's going to help them in the category they need help with as far as defense goes and energy and activity and being able to move the ball. He's an impact player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also a plus. They must like some of their wings in that wing room. You're not just handing THC for nothing. So Patrick Beverley is a good move for this Laker team. I more so am confused with how they got there more than anything else.
But I don't think it's that confusing. The market dictated. They went all in on Kyrie. That didn't happen. Like, you got to tell me the I mean, like, what is the other move?
I guess less the move and more, it feels like you could have done this before. You could have held on a piece before. You couldn't have put yourself in this position.
Yeah, but they were all hung up on whatever Brooklyn was doing, like most of the NBA world.
Accurate. But does that mean they keep Russ? Can they coexist? Am I asked the basic question?
Yes, I think they can. And I have long maintained that I think Russ was unfairly scapegoated in the equation of the Lakers' lack of success. Did he help? No. Is he making a bunch of money? Yeah. Should he have been better? Sure. But if you really want to tell me Russell Westbrook was their sole problem, like, that's bull. I don't believe it.
Oh, no. I don't like that discourse as much. More so, but that's a long time that they've had back and forth, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years. That's 9 years.
Across a few teams for both of them.
Y'all had 9 year beef?
Bro, but come on. See, this is where listen. How often have you beefed with somebody and then they become your teammate and then it's like, what's up? It's the same way KD told Sean Marks and then he wanted them fired. They patched it up, better go play ball. Like, why are we acting like ball is so emotional? It's ball. Nah. Come on.
I'm gonna ask, what's the biggest beef you have with a teammate? You have to tell it all, but you had a teammate where it was like, hey.
I'm good.
and not to be super goody two shoes. When we got on the court, no, I didn't. Now I had teammates I didn't socialize with outside of like, that's my teammate. What's up? But like, let's play ball. I'm trying to win. Come on. Can you help me or not?
She was professional. I was a nag. So there's a few folks that didn't like me after practice, during practice, after team meal, didn't want to dap me up. It was cool the next day, but you know.
Doesn't sound like it was very cool the next day. I'm going to be honest.
Lingering.
Now you know how it goes. A little full court pressure instead of hard back pick. I want to talk to you for a little bit. It happens.
It happens. And then if you become teammates, then you're doing it to the other people. And you'd be like, why you ain't second pick like you second on me? It's fine.
All right. But a Westbrook-Beverly backcourt pairing causing havoc defensively is going to be hilarious. That would be funny to me.
That would be funny. I mean, if Darvin Ham is able to get Russ to channel all the energy that he has. Like, he's always had tools to be a good defender. And he's had stretches of good defense throughout his career.
He has.
He just has to, that has to be consistent on and off the ball. I think it's where it kind of lands. And so, like, I guess to go back to the earlier question from Monica, like, I think a Russ move is still coming before the season starts. So I don't know how much this is going to matter, in my opinion. But I guess, under the guys that they actually end up staying together, they can't find a deal for Russ, or they just patch this up to a degree that I don't foresee, but it's possible still. I guess you could play them together.
Why not?
I guess I'm just finding the offensive role.
It's not the sexiest, but like you could.
You could.
That's like, for me, think I'm about it. Go. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, for me, the Russ in L.A. fit is just reeling off a last year. I'm trying to figure out what the offensive role is going to be and what he's going to commit to and how you maximize that. So Russ, it's less about Russ and Pat Bev, more so just I want to know what Darvin Ham wants to do and how much Russ is willing to do within that vision.
Russ is going to be better this year. He's going to be better this year. To me, it's a simple equation. Just give him something. Give him something that's his. You give him something that's his, at some point in the rotation, he'll be fine.
Agreed. I also think that the big thing was, LeBron needs the ball, Russ needs the ball. Of the two, who have we seen be more versatile over their career? LeBron. I think LeBron's got to see things just a little bit differently. So I think they can figure it out personally. And I don't know. What's the deal? The deal for Russ is going to be picks and some shooters. Some like young guys from somebody.
It's going to be big salary like and Russ shooting. Command?
Yeah, right? I don't know. I'm going to think about, we have to go to the end of the roster shooters. But okay. All right.
Like, I don't think on the trade market, you're not going to find a player as talented as Russ and get him back in a trade for Russ. But if you can find enough shooting/defense to kind of complement that with what you get from LeBron, hopefully a healthier LeBron, a healthier Anthony Davis. Like, I think they're going with the turn this 20 into two tens. If they can.
I agree with you on obviously health, but I just think the one takeaway in the macro this summer, if we look at whatever Brooklyn, I don't think teams are just doing deals for the sake of doing deals. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. What's the market going to be for Russ? You know what I mean? Like, Russ is, what am I? If I'm 32, Russ was 33, maybe? And he is who he is. Like, unless you buy him as someone who is consistent and works hard and is going to teach my young guys how to do it. But, I mean, not that he and John Wall should be necessarily compared one-to-one, but Houston decided they want to run with their young dudes, like the Thunder. And, oh, God, this Chet news blows me so hard. But, like, they'd rather just let their young dudes play. So, I just don't know what the market's going to be. I think they're better off figuring it out personally.
Yeah, I got you. We can actually touch on the Chet news very quickly since you already hit on it. He is going to miss the 22-23 season with a Lisfranc injury in his foot. Very unfortunate. I hope that he gets better. The only question I have, really, and Steven, I touched on this a little bit, I think, during the watch party yesterday. Like, how do you think teams are going to take the Chet news with him getting the injury during the Pro-Am game? Do you think it's going to be, well, this is unfortunate, it sucks, or do you think it's going to be something that they attempt to curb?
I've been kind of mulling this over today, Nikai, Steve. Of course, Thunder is like, it could happen anywhere. And they're right. Like, it could have happened anywhere, but it didn't. I don't know. I don't think you stop guys from playing. I'll put it this way. I don't think you stop guys from playing, but I do think maybe you have more conversations on guys that you're particularly concerned about. Like, you talk to, you know, the other two teams that had the first three picks. I wonder how much Chet build in physicality. And not that the injury was a freak injury, but, like, there were questions about his body at the NBA level. So maybe you give an extra caution there. But I think the nature of the NBA in terms of our fan consumption, Twitter engagement, like, this stuff is fun and just as much as part of the league. I won't say as a regular season game, but it's part of the fabric.
We got you, Steve. What about you?
I mean, it's going to be tough to curb it. I mean, the most I've seen is probably teams saying, hey, y'all can play, just try and play together or play around with each other or play with other NBA hoopers or something of that nature. But at the same time, guys are going to play and there's not much you can do to curtail it. Now, as far as the participation goes, it gets interesting because all these games were starting to be streamed. So there's like a grassroots type deal where you're touching the fans. It's fun for the players. It's fun for everyone. So the timing of that kind of stinks in that regard to me. Obviously, it stinks he got hurt. But I don't know where it goes, left or right. It's always kind of like the elephant in the room. You're worried about them playing too much, or you're worried about the guy who just hasn't touched the ball in 5 months? When we just talked about Anthony Davis.
I was just about to say that, Steve. The flip of the script is, you know, Knicks fans, we don't know what Derrick Rose looked after his surgery, but if he pulled up at a pro-am and is getting buckets, you know, everybody's in a frenzy. So
I'm with you. Like, I guess to clarify my position, like, I don't think they should try to be like, hey, don't play anywhere. But the organizations are making investments, et cetera, et cetera. And with a guy like Chet, who did have, as Monica said, like, some concerns about the frame and what it's going to look like, how you build it out, how you deal with physicality on the NBA level. Like, I could understand where a team is like, okay, no, we can't tell you don't play basketball, but, like, let's make sure the games are here, here, and here. Or try to stay away from these types of courts or whatever the case may be and see if they try to do that.
You don't think Jamal Crawford checked those boxes? Like, he's a pro. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think part of this, we can overanalyze, but, like, injuries suck and they can happen anywhere. Like, my teammate's dad tore his Achilles tripping over a extension cord. So, like.
Oh, no.
I mean, this was years ago, but I'm just saying, accidents are exactly that.
I mean, John Wall had the stairs incident.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you're right. I guess I was just curious about, like, how the teams would look at that.
Is that the first year right in pod history?
No, it's not. What are you? That's a tremendous shot. Also, no.
I'm honored. I am honored. If so.
That's amazing. Let's talk about some honors while we're here then. Ryan Howard was named WNBA Rookie of the Year. The All-Rookie Team was also announced early today that featured Howard, Shakira Austin, Nelissa Smith of the Indiana Fever, Rebecca Gardner of the Chicago Sky, and Queen Egbo of the Indiana Fever as well. Were there any surprises on this list for either one of you?
I don't think so. Nah.
Not a single one.
It seems like chalk to me. Only other question I have, are you surprised that it was, I think Ryan Howard got 53 of the 56 votes for Rookie of the Year. Were you surprised that that was the number? Did you expect more love from Shakira Austin? Did you expect a unanimous decision for Ryan Howard? Or what were your thoughts on that, Monica?
I knew Ryan was going to win and it wasn't going to be close. I do think that because it's weird because I literally was tweeting this the other day. I didn't think that Shakira Austin was getting enough of the conversation just for the sake of conversation because it's Ryan's award. So I think of the votes, I mean, I would have liked to see, you know, Shakira get, you know, somewhere around 10 maybe would have been a little bit more respect for her game, but it's Ryan by a landslide. Like, teams are game planning around her. She is the absolute engine. But Shakira's rookie season has been absolutely impressive on a playoff team, fitting in seamlessly. She's got great hands around the rim. Her ability to finish. But Ryan has just been that girl.
Understandable. Steve, you're in the same boat.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Easy breezy. Let's get into the playoff series that just ended. Steve, we can start with the New York Liberty, if you would like.
This is a setup.
I felt like it was poetic because you warned, made the proclamation last time Monica was here. Her last episode, we did a WNBA preview. You told us, hey, watch out for the Liberty. They made the playoff push. They forced Chicago to game 3.
I've said it on every episode Monica's been on. And I was looking forward to coming here and act bad if they had won that game 3. But they didn't. So, I mean, thanks, Nikias.
How is it my fault? What?
It's not. What else can you do but salute the Chicago Sky? Like, what a balanced effort over those 2 games. What a response. Like, they are a championship team. That's what we saw during that run. That's what we saw all season long. They know what they do. They believe in what they do. And then they go do it. Like, how can you highlight just one player from the Sky?
You can't.
Can you?
Not really.
Candace,
I mean, you could. I'm saying Candace if you really wanted to. Right.
Candace was incredible on both ends of the floor. What she did defensively switched that whole series, but Copper set the tone in both of those games on both ends of the floor. Courtney Vandersloot had enough and decided to end the series. Allie Quigley got a title for holding on for dear life against Laney.
Hilarious. I understand and I appreciate the sentiment, but also we saw the buckets though. A whole belt.
Hey. Listen, sometimes they're just that good. Did you make it tough one? Okay. I super lucky to be courtside for game 3. And shout out to the Liberty fan base. Like, yeah, it was rocking it there. It was really cool to see. Combined with the conversation around women's sports, the new influx of investment and interest, like, it was a vibe. But to that point, one, I think people don't get how strong Vanaja is when on defense. Like, she switches and guards multiple positions. And Allie is not built that way. I don't doubt that she's tough because I played against her sister in college. But that's a tough assignment, yo. And I think when I look at the Liberty, but the third quarter run was freaky in the third. It was cool. But they have no concept of time and score. Like, they live by the 3, die by the 3. Like, I was like, what? Okay, sure. Here go Candace Parker and here go Courtney. Wait, for one stretch, I think Quigs was on the bench. Like, oh, y'all go wild out while they on the bench so they can come in and go on the 16-0 run. Anyway, so I would like to see Liberty grow up a little bit, be a little bit more patient. But there were quite a few bunnies in game 3 that I thought Natasha Howard struggled a little bit in the paint. Like, they had some looks that they just didn't get the home role.
Sorry, Steve.
No, I'm just I'm replaying the third quarter where it felt like they were getting stops. And I literally asked you, Nikias, hey, can they turn these into points? can they turn these into points? They never did. And then fourth quarter, it looks like, okay, it's time. Three minutes. Sabrina hit that three. Okay, we here. And miss.
None
of them. 6-point game. Then Avalanche. Now you go home.
Yep. Yep. Chicago start back cutting you, slicing you up, reverse layups and things, ball bouncing off the Nigel's hand into the Chicago basket. Tough.
It was just kind of tough. I guess for both of you while we're on the Liberty, how did you feel about their pace this year? Because I look at what their roster is and you want to build the boat around Sabrina, like Benaja Laney wasn't there for most of the year. But in general, with the firepower that they have, see, this is something that we touched on in the earlier episode. It was interesting that they kind of made the decision to play slower, to be more of a half court team and kind of grind it out that way. Do you think they ended up biting them at a certain point?
Biting them? No, because they were playing a little faster and couldn't really hold it. So it was trying to find the sweet spot. And I think you could argue maybe they leaned a little bit too far left, but they needed to have that tempo and flow in the half court to be able to enhance around the transition. So trying to find the balance was what they were aiming for. But I mean, once you're in a dogfight in the playoffs against this guy, it looks a little bit different. And they're taking away your transition. Now it puts a lot of pressure on that half court. So that's part of learning how to win.
I got you. I guess I asked because I think back to that third quarter and during the stretch where they were getting all the stops and they were forced to turn over and then it's being jogged up instead of ran up to try to get an early transition opportunity or forcing the misses kind of jog them. It's like, okay, you're going into a set and that's cool, but do you want to face Chicago's set defense after a miss? Like, I don't know if that's what you want to aim for. So just those moments is where I was like, okay, is this really what they want to do here?
I thought about that too at some point, Nikias, but I think like you play both sides of the ball and I don't think you can underestimate the energy that was required to come up with those stops. Like there's, it was kind of scramble. Okay, we got the ball. Let's take a beat. Let's try to get a good shot. But even when they went on that run in the third, like those are bad shots that went in, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they ended up losing their stamina the same kind of way that they got back in the game. And so, this to me is an exciting group to watch moving forward. I really like Sandy Brondello. I was kind of surprised at how short her bench got in the playoffs, just to spell like Benaja, Sabrina, so they could try to stay fresh to keep up. Because ultimately, Chicago's depth, and stamina just was too much.
Chicago, so they have three starters come off the bench? Azra could start just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think Rebecca Gardner could definitely start into places. If for nothing else, just to, hey, be our point of attack defender, we're bringing the six-woman score or whatever. Even if that's the dynamic for you. And Marine was in a starting lineup for game 3, which was interesting to me. But yeah, it just felt like they were trying to find it with Rebecca Allen and with Sammy Witt coming. They just didn't get enough in that one. But moving forward, we're heading into the offseason. They have a max slot, which is intriguing. There was some Breonna Stewart smoke last offseason. If you're able to get Breonna Stewart, then duh, you do that. Beyond that, what types of players should the Liberty be looking for this offseason?
Well, I think, again, it's a little bit of a tricky look at them because you got to think, are you going to get Benaja healthy next year, right? I think Michaela Anyanwede is really good for them and very simple. I would like to see, and Natasha Howard has shown her to spurt somebody that really plays off Sabrina or whoever's running the one. But to me, Stephanie Dawson can pop and can score and she used her body well. But I kind of think another athletic big to me. I love Johannes. Rebecca Allen, I think, is terrific. I hope if they can keep those folks together, another big is a luxury that I would look to see if they could have. A versatile big, like kind of like a Kayla Thornton, kind of from Dallas, which, Kayla Thorntons are tough to find.
There we go. Steve, what would you say?
I mean, out of line there. If you can't do there, try and get perimeter defense and or a driver.
Okay. Interesting. Certain teams made it look like you can keep Sabrina out of the paint, but Chicago didn't seem to have that issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe get a third person who could, get in the paint, open some things up, perhaps. Just throwing it out there.
That would certainly help. And so with that, like, and Steve, we talked about this on the last episode slash the watch party before this game three. Do you think they look for an upgrade in the Crystal Dangerfield spot? Because in theory, she is that guard that can kind of get in the paint for you. But you also saw how aggressively Chicago was helping off of her when she was on the floor and kind of shrinking things for them in the half court as well. Do you think that she can, because she's still very young, like she's just a former rookie of the year. Like, do you bank on bringing her back, her getting better, and you just getting more reps with that kind of alignment, or do you look for an upgrade in that spot?
I think Dangerfield was important to what the Liberty did this season. The playoff run didn't end how anyone would have hoped, but her play allowed the offense to go from, hey, Sabrina, go do something, to let's run this, let's run that. Dangerfield able to play in pick and roll, attack and transition, maybe plays against rotations. Now there's more of a balance. So I thought she was key. So I would say run it back and prove. You may want to have some more roster versatility in a sense, if you, in case you run into a matchup like that. But I don't think the Liberty make that turnaround unless they get the production from Dangerfield.
I mean, we're talking about a rookie of the year. Like, that was bouncing around the first part of the season, which is so odd to me. As with anything, it's a give and take. Crystal is dogging on the ball. She's quick. She's got great handles. Sure, she gives up some size. Could shoot the long ball a little bit better. But, I mean, you trade it for size, and then Sabrina is again becomes your primary ball handler. So I agree with Steve. I think you let Crystal stay. You let this group gel. You let Banaja get healthy and see what you got.
All righty. Let's move to the other team that lost a game three. That would be the Dallas Wings, a 15-point loss to the Connecticut Sun. We'll talk about them shortly. Were you surprised by the late season push that the Dallas Wings made this season, Monica?
No, I think that late season push has been blooming or budding since the start of last season for me. Like, look at this roster. And then you add Victoria Burton. Shout out to Kevin Blackstone, who warned me about her way back during the regular season for Northwestern. And I was like, okay, cool. But she had a great first half in the elimination game. I wasn't surprised by her push. Like, this is a loaded roster. Vicky Johnson is very good at what she does. She played in this league. She is a guard with guards as the head of her snake. Like, and not just Arike, but Marina as well. And then now Victoria. So I think being able to play, what's my girl, who's Tierra McCowan, being able to pour her off the bench was a big deal. I love the way Tierra has looked just rejuvenated as a Dallas Wing player compared to, you know, she kind of seemed to lose herself, I guess, from an athletic standpoint in Indiana. I wasn't surprised by this team's push. In fact, I thought that Connecticut was in some real trouble.
It was looking kind of shaky. Even in the game three, it looks pretty shaky for the first half of that game.
No, the Sun were in trouble. They were in trouble. Just purely eye test, I was like, oh, Dallas has this. They have the momentum. They're doing enough defensively. And then at halftime, I looked at the box score. And I was like, oh, Dallas shot 51% and it's tied.
And Isabel Harrison had gone down by halftime, right? I think.
Yeah. I was like, well... But yeah. But guys, what do you got?
Sheesh. Throw me to the wolves. No, I was impressed by the Dallas Wings that push for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. I was impressed. Wrote about Tierra McCowan and the impact she was having offensively. They really seemed to find an identity and a purpose in the half court with the Rike being down. I was, and Steve, we talked about this pregame, the 10-minute minute restriction seemed odd. I feel like, is she available or is she not? Like, that was...
Hey, I feel for Coach on that one. That's tough. Hey, Arike's back, but you got 10 whole minutes.
Like, what do you... How do you...
I was trying to figure out the strategy. Like, is it three each quarter? Like, are you just going to wait till the fourth? Like...
that's also, like, not even her game. Like, she got to get in rhythm. A little tough.
Yeah,
I get it. I do get it.
That didn't seem fair to anyone involved. But at any rate, was impressed by the Dallas Wings, the way that it closed out the year. Hate that it ended like this. And now my question becomes, what is this team going to look like next season? Like, even beyond, like, is Izzy Harrison is an unrestricted free agent heading into the offseason. But, like, we've seen reports from Christina Williams that Alicia Gray isn't going to be there next year. Tierra McCowan and Marina Mabry are both restricted free agents. I would assume the Wings want to bring them back, but what is the makeup of the team? I am intrigued by this Wings team.
Here's Here's what I will say. I think that makes the W a little bit, I don't want to say more unique than the NBA, because we see stars in the NBA force their hand all the time. Because this league is smaller, like, you just need one big chip to fall to kind of change the trajectory. Like, if I am, I'm not sure who all is about to come up. But to me, if they can hold on to Kayla Thornton, Tierra McCowan, Isabel Harrison, and maybe not even both Marina and Arike, although Arike seems to be the face of that franchise. You look at Vicky Johnson, you look at the trajectory, you look at the city, and why would you not want to play in Dallas if you're somebody that's chasing the opportunity to contend for real and put your name on something? So this is going to be a curious offseason. I don't know how much they can run it back, but I think they are an attractive place for people for free agents.
Okay. Because you touched on a little bit, do you think the Arike Marina backcourt can work long-term in Dallas? Or do you think there needs to be some sort of, even if it's just one of them needs to be a high-minute six player and kind of stagger that way, do you think that can work?
Personally, I always want guards. Like, let's go, right? Like, Russ and Pat Bev can figure it out. Let's go. Figure it out. I think long-term, here's the thing. The emergence of Victoria Burton, I think, changes that conversation as well. Because you can get someone to take the pressure off as far as handle, but doesn't necessarily look to score or kind of need the same kind of volume of shots. Long-term, I don't know. That's a good question, Nakai. You're good at this podcasting thing. Long term, I don't know. That's a good question. I tell you what, to me, if they can continue to be a high scoring unit that's getting up and down the floor, and there are enough shots to go around, why not? But it's that, to me, can't come at the expense of defending.
I think on that front, like, one, that backcourt's going to work. You're going to need the pre-injury Arike defensively, the one that we were starting to see before the injury happened. If she's able to channel that for a full season, I think that changes a lot of this. But to the conversation about them working together offensively, I think part of what helped Dallas make this push once Arike went down, like, and shout out to my friends at the committee, they held multiple spaces talking about the dynamic of their offense, is that having someone like Veronica Burton or having someone like Ty Harris, who's okay with just running the show, making sure everyone's in their spots, and then kind of letting Marina go. Or letting Alicia Bray run some of the offense and then letting Marina work off the ball and she's attacking the tilted defense instead of having to run the show. Like, I don't know if either Marina or Arike are natural set the table players. They're more so scorers who, because they're so good at scoring, they'll draw the second defender. They can make the easy kick from there. Like, I don't know how much manipulation you're getting from either of them in the half court right now.
And I think that's a very astute point, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the emergence of Victoria Burton, I mean, if you put Marina or Arike in the corner and let the other one work, literally take turn basketball. I know it's not beautiful, but I mean, you're giving up a lot of firepower if you just let one of them walk.
I think it can work, especially if start to maybe rotate, stagger, start them together, let one cook the rest of the quarter, second quarter, hey, you come in, now y'all come back together, something like that. There's ways to make it work. I think it's just more you got to get the vision going. And if everyone knows, hey, we're going to be here, it gets a little bit easier.
Exactly. And you got to give it time. Cool. Found some eyelashes, guys. You got to give it some time. Like, I mean, the rep one Notre Dame girls is that they are scorers. And there's a lot of the fundamentals and the transition from the collegiate game to the pro game that are missing. But I think you give it time. You've seen that both of them are dogged competitors. I think you give it time.
All right, I got you. Well, then, let's transition into the series that we have left now. We just transitioned from the Dallas portion. We can talk about the Connecticut Sun now. They will be taking on the Chicago Sky in the next round. The Sky won the season series for nothing. All four of those games were pretty close, though, and all four of them featured some pretty big runs for both teams. So it didn't feel like either one could really run away from the other. Until the fourth, which Chicago's been the clutchest team in the W, both statistically and by the eye test. So, Monica, I will start with you. Like, what matchup are you looking forward to the most in this series?
I don't know what version of Connecticut is going to show up. Like, if I was good and confident, I would say I'm excited to see Jonquil slash Ezra slash Candace, right? Like, the slash Breonna Jones, like this paint situation. Mm-hmm. I also think Courtney Williams, Letitia Heidemann are going to be huge because they're going to need to knock down threes, but they're going to have to run around with Vanderquigs. Like, there's a lot there. I just feel like Connecticut has these postseason yips. And maybe that leaves Dawana Bonner as your X factor, as the steadying force, as both a steadying force and an encouraging voice. Because I think Alyssa can be steady, but I don't know how credible she is as a leader for that group. I just don't know what version of Connecticut is going to show up. And so everybody is that matchup I'm looking forward to. Connecticut versus themselves.
Oh, man. Steve, what about you before I go?
Well, no, I was going to ask. Well, you touched on the point that I think the Connecticut guard play is going to be so important. I think it's going to be important for Chicago as well, just with the talent of the bigs involved. But for me, just brainstorming, I don't know how Connecticut does it if they can't get that kind of production. Because you're going to need them to put pressure. You're going to need them to get paint touch. You're going to need them to hit open shots. It can't just be pick and roll, pick and rock post-ups against this guy defense. So you're going to need that versatility. And so you need Bonner to swing a game, Williams to give you a run, those type of deals. That's the first thing that jumps out to me. But it's the same thing for Chicago on the other end. Because if you saw what happened when Liberty said, hey, we're just going to go under everything, work for a game. So if Connecticut says, hey, we're also tall, come in the paint and their guards aren't playing, we'll see how it goes. Go ahead, Nikias.
I guess I start with the guards for me. And I think that's my number one problem area or concern area for the Connecticut Sun for me. Because defensively, and going back through the regular season meetings earlier today, the amount of times that Natisha Heidemann and Courtney Williams got back cut during this four-game series, it was frustrating to me. It was frustrating to watch them pretty much kill Chicago's initial action. And now it's 10 on the clock, and it's okay, the handoff's coming. Actually, no, I'm just going to juke and go the other way, and now it's an easy assisted bucket. I'm just like, well, what was all of that for? And then you go on the other end, and it's a Courtney Williams pick and roll, and the mid-range is going. The midi is going up. Whether it's drop and it's open, or I have a sliver of space and it's open, or someone may be open one pass away, but it's fine because I got this midi. I don't know. I don't know where I am with the guards. Between the decision-making and kind of the awareness on the other end, like I'm just concerned about Connecticut in this matchup. And it's also just a testament to how good the team is that they've had these lapses on both ends and every game has been close. So like if they're able to reel it in on either end of the floor, like they have the talent to be able to win this series. I just don't know where my trust level is with them yet.
I hear you on all the basketball things, but I just think back to last year and how shell-shocked Connecticut looked. They are either, and well, I think we'll be able to tell from game one, they will either have shaken those demons, excised those demons, whatever words you want to use, and will be ready to play. You know, and as much as we talk about guards, Connecticut, when Dejanay Carrington comes off the bench, she's a pretty good defender, but like you talk about getting back cut, that's because they shoot the ball the way they do, right? Like, I really don't know. I feel so badly for Jasmine Thomas, who is someone that has been able to maintain her health for the most part of her career. And I think you're going to see her absence big time in this one.
They're going to miss her for sure. See, the defense, just the calming presence on offense would certainly help. And to your postseason yips point, like, I'm still annoyed with how the Sun went out the last postseason. And I think a lot of that revolves around the usage of Jonquil Jones and how she's able to establish herself and how they're able to establish her. And so I guess I'll start with you, Steve. Like, how can the Sun shake her loose against the Sky?
Shake her loose and shake her loose against the Sky are going to be two different things to me, because you need to be able to use, as we talked about the Dallas series, the versatility, inside, outside, post-ups, run some sets, pick and pop. I don't know how you loosen against this guy, because I don't think this guy are going to allow her to be loose. In the sense that post-ups, double team coming. What are you going to do now? And now, Can you, with that taken off the table and trying to figure out a way to open it up anyways, now where do you go? Is it all pick and pops? Is it all space? Is the post-ups just going to be to get the double to get rotations? And now you make them think about that. That's the tough part for me. And you hope that what you did this season will pay off now, but you also need Jonquel. That's where I'm stuck with the Sun right now in this series.
I got you. I think the benefit of having someone like Jonquel, again, last year's MVP, is that you can use her in multiple ways. And so it doesn't have to be a steady dose of, hey, we're going to do this to get her open. I think the multitude is the positive with her. It's just been annoying, even going to the game 3 against Dallas, to where it's like, okay, what is the plan here? This is the first 5.5 minutes of the first quarter, Jonquel hasn't gotten a shot. Like, why is that the case in a win or go home game on the road for you? You need to establish your superstar early. Oh, go ahead, Monica.
I just would like to raise my hand and also point out foul trouble, right? Like, and that to me is like the yips thing, right? Like, oh, here we go. I got 2 fouls in the first quarter. Like, where do we go from here? The Connecticut Sun are going to miss Jasmine so much in this series, but Natisha Heidemann and Courtney Williams are both players that are capable. They are players that, I won't call it focus roller coaster, but maybe energy roller coaster, right? They're energized by what they're able to do on the offensive end, maybe a little bit more than the defensive end. And you don't have room for that lapse in your mindset and in your focus in this particular series. So, I wish I could say that like Breonna Jones could also run point guard, because I think she's one of the steadiest, most underrated, simplest game having folks, but efficient and does her thing folks in the league. And she was a big part of them kind of starting to take that lead in game 3, but she's a post player. So
I guess just to bounce off of both of your points, one, if you are using the post-ups for Jonquel, like they have gotten some good stuff out of the cross screens for Jonquel using the guard to screen her open. It's just the timing on that's been kind of off. Sometimes they just miss her late. And now Chicago's able to load up and then send that double. There was a possession early in the third matchup where they went with the cross screen with, I want to say Courtney Williams set the cross screen for Jonquel. They passed it to her early because Chicago's kind of holding and waiting for the bid to get across to get reattached. And they were able to hit her early. It was a deep seal. She got a bucket. And so they're able to nail those little things. That helps. Using her as a screener and pick and roll. As a roller and as a popper, they go empty corner quite a bit. Like, there are ways to open things up for Chicago. And to your point, Monica, about them needing to knock down shots, going through the regular season meetings, like, it was more Courtney Williams than Natisha Heidemann, but Chicago was pretty comfortable rotating early off of them and leaving them open. And both of them are capable of shooting.
Yeah. I get it. They're streaky. I'm excited for this series. I really want to see what version of Connecticut's going to show up. I mean, and I think, you know, we talked about guards. Anfi Simms is someone who, you know, has a little bit more seasoning in the league, we'll say, pedigree. Like, you can't run over Odyssey. She's just strong and really smart-minded. Now, Kurt Miller, to me, another really great coach in this league. I mean, so is James Wade. So this is going to be a fun X's and O's match from the coaching standpoint. But I also think, for Connecticut, in order to keep it simple, if they can figure out a way to dominate the glass, then like that's the simplest way to keep things steady for them. Because then there's confidence. There's just confidence because you're staying in the ball game. Because then that, like, you know, I talk about the first half versus Dallas. Like, Dallas was all over the place, and they was kind of a step behind.
They couldn't get it going and they stayed in the game because they just killed Dallas on the offensive glass, and that only got worse after the Isabel Harrison injury. So Connecticut has a pathway there. Like, that's going to be, honestly, that's kind of the thing that's, it's hard to say anything's been an issue with Chicago considering how good they are, but like the size of Connecticut bothers everyone. This was a team that led the WNBA in offensive rebound percentage by a pretty wide margin. When you have Jonquel up front, you have Alyssa Thomas that can bang up there. Breonna Jones, you know, the work she does off the bench. Like, that combined with the fact that Chicago does have their stretches of offense to where the ball is kind of slinging around everywhere. If Connecticut's able to win a possession battle, they're going to have a shot. And from there, it just kind of comes down to who can generate the cleanest looks in the half court late in games.
Go, Steve.
Well, I mean, I thought that in theory, Connecticut should be able to cause the most problems for Chicago with their bigs, with their size, with their length, with their defense. The Sky have done this all season, though. Like, they just figure it out. They're comfortable with an ugly game. They're comfortable with a stretch, those stretches. They have had them. How many times have we watched the Kais? And we've seen Chicago go off to a slow start, down 10-2, tie game 4 minutes later. This is just what they do. And that's where it's like, this is a playoff series. So even if the Sun hit him with a jab, you also have to do it how many more times? It's tough. So I'm in need to see it mode. I'm sorry, y'all. The sun's not in the Sky right now for me.
Sheesh. I see what you did there. I mean, I think we all agree. Like, there's just so many question marks.
Yes, there are. One last question before we move to the other series. A very simple one. Who is your X factor for the series? It can be on either team, or you can have one for each team, however you want to dole that out. Steve, who's your X factor for this one?
Courtney Vandersloot. If she's aggressive from the jump, I don't know how you beat this guy. That's what I got.
Gotcha. Monica, what about you?
I like that. Counterpoint, I'll go the other way. I'm going to Juana Bonner. I think as much as we've talked about the guards, like, Juana can play all five positions on the floor. She can guard all five positions on the floor. And she's, when I think of the yips for them, she can talk. She can do it. Like, she can help them, help steady them on the emotional side and, of course, her skill set. So I think it's going to be Juana Bonner. If they can get her going and she's playing with confidence, I think that spills over to the rest of the squad. You got to account for her a little bit differently because of her length. Smidge more space for Jonquel, like a slightly later rotation to Natisha or Courtney. So I'm going with Juana Bonner.
Okay. I will stay with the Sun. I think Courtney Williams is my X factor for this one. She's going to have to bring it defensively. And I think the decision-making is going to be there because we know what she can do as a shot creator. We know those pockets are going to be there for her to get to the jumper. She has to make correct decisions with the ball as well. If the help does come early enough, she has to make the kicks and the shots have to fall from there. Like, I just want to see what that looks like because she's going to be the large driver of how successful that guard room is going to be for Connecticut. All right, let's close this out with the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces.
Man, this man left 5 minutes for the Aces talk. I see what you did. I saw the vision. High IQ basketball player. I see what you did there, player.
What do you mean? We were just vibing with basketball talk. Now we
now we're here. Come on, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. The Aces won the season series 3-1. Some players missing in some of those matchups, but either way, these are two of the most talented teams in the W. They have, I think, the top two in MVP. In the MVP conversation, depending on how you have that. Monica, I'll start with you. Which matchup are you looking forward to the most in this series?
Ooh, child. This series is literally, I'm here with it, like, biting my nails. I think it's going to be epic. There's so many good matchups in this one. My most important matchup in this one. Am I going to go point guards? I think it's going to be Chelsea Gray. I'm not 100% sure that Sue wants that smoke at the other end of that. Chelsea Gray / whoever's guarding Chelsea Gray. I think, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they go with some Gabby Williams. Like, Chelsea's a tough guard. Like, she's a tough guard as a player, and she's a big guard. And I just think the way that she's playing ball, her vision, some of the same things you named for Courtney Williams as the X factor for the Sun. Her vision, her presence, the way she pushes tempo. There's just so much to choose from on the Aces side, though.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Quick shout out to Carolyn Peck, who said something similar, I want to say pregame show of last night for the Wing-Sun game. She was like, whoever's guarding Chelsea Gray's kind of...
Yeah.
I think my matchup, one, I just hope everyone's healthy. It sucks to start there, but I kind of have to start there. Like, Gabby Williams racking up the concussion during the closeout game against Washington. I hope that she is okay. I hope she is good to go for this series. If it's not game one, just moving forward. Because that can change a lot of what Seattle wants to do defensively in terms of the matchups. And in the front court for the Aces, I don't know who's starting at center yet. Well, I don't know who's starting alongside Asia Wilson, I should say, would be a more accurate way to put that. Mm-hmm. De'Erica Hamby's still out. She was hosting the Twitter spaces earlier with the WNBA, and she said she's not going to be there for game one. You know, she's not going to be available. Kia Stokes got hurt during the closeout game against the Mercury. Not sure if she's going to be available. Mm. Not sure what the status of Ileana Ruperi is yet. Though it does, some of the pictures on the Aces page, that she was at practice at the very least, so she may be good to go. But at any rate, I kind of want to know who's going to be there first and foremost. Beyond that, though, I'm also looking at the guards. I want to see how Kelsey Plum handles Seattle's defense from a scheme perspective. As great as Kelsey has been this year, when teams have ramped it up and put a big on the level, or they've hedged out, like, the results have been uneven when she's seen that coverage. And this is something that Seattle can do. They've transitioned to more switching, particularly in the Aces matchups. But Seattle can get busy with the more aggressive pick and roll coverage. So I wonder, one, if Gabby Williams is healthy, does she get that matchup like she did in the prior games during that matchup? And beyond that, is it going to be, regardless of who guards her, where's the big going to be whenever she calls for a screen? Is it going to be at the level, or is it going to switch off and she's able to find matchups from there? I think getting Kelsey Plum free is going to open up a lot for this Aces offense. I kind of want to see what she sees.
On the flip of that, I'm trying to see what the Storm are going to do. This is going to be a different series for them. They're a very good defensive team. They have multiple things they can do defensively, but this is not the Mystics. So can you find the right matchups? Can you keep stay in front of the ball? Can you still show the same help and recover? Because they have shooters. Can you show help against Asia? Are you going to do the thing where you switch Sue or Jewel Lloyd on Asia and then double afterwards? Are you going to throw zone out there? Which one are you going to pick? That's where I'm like, wait a minute. And to your point about Kelsey, honestly, that's going to be a huge advance for Aces. If the Aces can get the Storm to put two on the ball and pick and roll, it's going to be a short series. I'm going to throw it out there right now. I just don't think they'll be able to.
Like, it definitely should be. And that's why I mentioned, like, the results have been uneven, because she has had her instances where she'll see that coverage, she'll drive past the hedge, and now it's a free-for-all. She can get the bucket herself, or she can make the pass, and then they're playing the advantage basketball. I've also seen where she's been kind of trapped on the sideline, where she's had the reset, and the half-court offense kind of peters out. And Steve, you've been hammering the Aces half-court offense for most of the year because of some of the lulls that they've had. And so I just wonder, again, like, just, I hate to be the result player, but like, what is that going to look like? Because in theory, if they're putting two on her, it should open things up for everyone else. But how she handles that is going to be where I think that's where I'm intrigued.
Well, so just counterpoint on the putting two on her. I think if they do an intermittent, right, and they time it, if they can slow the Aces down, they will be in better shape, is ultimately what I'm getting at, right? And so maybe not, it's not always two on the ball, and maybe it's not only Kelsey. I don't know if I would even blame two on the ball versus Chelsea, but like the idea of creating some disruption, I mean, they're really athletic on their back line. To your point, they got to get healthy. But like, I think the emergence of Gabby Williams sort of has kind of, you know, people have cooled on Ezzie Magwagor, who to me came into this season as one of the better role players. Like, their ability to fly around and rotate. I mean, Stewie's not a slouch defensively either. So maybe it's worth the gamble a few times. I think they're going to need to slow the Aces down and make sure that they are contesting. Because this is a team, as much as you talk about pick and roll, they can kill you from behind the arc if they have to. So yeah, but then on the flip side of all of that, like, Jewel Lloyd, I mean, she goes into Mamba mode late in a ball game. This is going to be a great series, man. It's going to be a great series. Seattle probably, if I was Seattle, I'd be trying to muck it up and slow it down a little bit. I think that favors them. And then obviously the Aces just want to get up and down the floor and out sporting.
I got you. That's going to be another big question, just to bounce off of your point. Which Jewel Lloyd are we going to see? Because even in this regular season series, we've seen the 1 point Jewel Lloyd game that the Aces won. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen the 38 point, was it 7 or 8 mm-hmm. made threes game where she just couldn't miss. So that's going to be a pretty major driver of what they do.
Yeah. So both, I think the other part too, though, both of these teams have playoff experience, right? Seattle has championship experience. I don't see the Aces as a squad that has the yips in the same way that I question Connecticut, but I do think that the pedigree of Seattle and their core having been together so long and having won, just is something that might give them a slight edge. We'll see.
I got you. Steve, can I ask you a question that may slightly annoy you?
Okay, go ahead, man. Come on.
Because Fonica started with, I don't know if Sue Bird wants.
This is a Sue Bird defensive question. I already knew it was a Sue Bird defensive question. Come on.
I guess I want to ask, like, where do you play Sue Bird? Like, what matchup do you give her?
Bottom tier is going to be the Chelsea Gray matchup. I don't like that matchup for Sue. Only because, yes, contain the ball, but also that's a shot that Chelsea Gray will take and make as many times as she wants to. So let's not do that. Okay. I still unpopularly lean towards Plum. And you maybe hope you could do enough stuff in pick and roll team defense wise, but that limits your help. Jackie Young, maybe. Help defense. I'm trying to talk myself into it. Get some help defense. Keep the ball in front. Contain, contest, pull up. That's where I'm going to land. Jackie or Kelsey, not Chelsea.
Okay. Monica, where would you go?
Yeah, I'm like, Kia. That's not really a thing, but Kia doesn't look to, although down the stretch of the regular season, she was scoring more than we're accustomed to seeing her from, seeing her score. I don't know, Steve. What other options do I have? When I got my feet guards, I got my two posts. Yeah. It's got to be Kelsey or Jackie. And you hope that maybe Jackie has one of her not so great games, right? Like, in terms of those two, who's more likely to have one of them heat check kind of games? I think it's Jackie a little bit. But I mean, the other thing I will say though about the Aces that's interesting is because I think they're so used to a fluidity scoring, when it's not happening for those two, to me, there's a little bit of a shift in terms of the press, right? Like they're starting to take some ill-advised shots, like ball doesn't necessarily move as well. And so they've got to be disciplined in that regard. If you're not, the ball's not going to Adrian Wilson or Chelsea Gray, you didn't do it right. At least one. Like, because those players will give it up and it'll get back to you. So if those two are Plum and Young are a little bit off, I want to see if they will remain disciplined and wait for the shots to come because ultimately they will hit.
I still maintain the guys. One guard. Make one Aces guard life tough during this series and you got yourself a shot. No,
no. Who's the one, though?
That's the question.
Right? I don't think... No, and this is no disrespect to Jackie. I think she's great, but the one is Chelsea, but can you do that? Right.
See, I think that's... So to me, Chelsea is the one that you can't.
Right. So you got to rank them. I guess... Kelsey.
Jackie, Kelsey, okay. Chelsea. Kelsey's tough.
Chelsea. Yeah,
that's mine.
There's so much to take away from Chelsea, though.
She'll find something.
I'm so excited for the playoffs, guys. I can't wait to get back to the studio. We got a whole hour-long pregame show on Sunday.
Oh, there we go.
Gonna be lit. Super excited.
Breaking some news for us. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm super excited.
I am here for the pregame show.
Mm-hmm. A little WNBA countdown. I'm not here. These playoffs, and I gotta say, shout out to, because first when they changed the format, I was like, okay, sure. Format's been lit. It's been great.
It's quality, and they're expanding once again next season. So I am excited for more basketball. Last thing I'll say on the Aces front, to answer that question, like, I think Sue on Jackie's probably your safest bet since teams are still okay with one ducking under Jackie Young pick and rolls for some reason, but whatever, they're still doing that. Then off the ball,
she's streaky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but off the ball, like, because she does have the slower load up on the jumper, like, I think that unlocks Sue a little bit more as a helper versus Kelsey. And again, Chelsea just, she can just get her shot whenever she wants to. So I don't know if you want to do that. So I think that's probably where I land. I'm also excited for the series.
Well, how excited are you? 1 to 5.
Oh God. I'd probably say a 4.5. The only thing that keeps it from a 5 is the discourse that's gonna come from the Asia Stewie conversations, probably. So we'll see.
Oh, that's cool. You're out on a discourse?
Oh boy. All right.
I love the
response. Sorry, Steve. I haven't heard this. Sorry.
No, I am here for the respectful discourse between the two. I don't like where the conversation's gone for the most part. So that's where I'm just like, I just hope it's not spoiled for me.
Toward racism? We're ready to go.
Like, it's
like, what are we saying? Tell me what you're hearing, great basketball minds.
Say it with your chest, Nikias.
Say it with your chest.
Step up and shoot it. 1-2. Let it fly.
I think what annoys me in general is when we have two very, very good candidates for any award, it turns into this player should win by far. And if you think this, then yada, yada, yada. And I don't think it needs to go there for either of these players. Okay. And so I just don't want to be annoyed by that.
And I think it's going to be some great hoops.
That's true. I mean, easier said than done.
I was like, decide. I'm with Steve. Decide not to be annoyed. The by far Twitter and the by far crowd, like, go away. Just because I agree. I don't think, even whether we're talking NBA or WNBA, the only by far I'd give you was Ryan Howard's Rookie of the Year award. But other than that, like, the teams are both very good. The players are both very good. You can be in on whoever you decide. I personally took Asia, but it's by a slight margin.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Like, I think that's all I really want from this particular conversation. Like, if you're taking Breonna Stewart, understandable. She's a baller. Yeah. Like, she's my defense player of the year. I don't have a vote, but like, she's my defense player of the year. She led the W in scoring. Everything she does offensively, like, she's great. If you're picking Asia, she's also great. Linchpin of the offense and the defense. Like, it doesn't have to be
intentional.
Yeah, it just doesn't have to be that.
Can the storm stop Asia?
That's a good question.
I want to put it out there because I've asked myself that question every time they played this season. And I've never walked away with a confident answer.
Like,
can they stop or contain? Like, you know how to stop or contain or slow, whichever adverb, verb you prefer.
I'll twist it. Can they contain Asia Wilson?
I don't know if they can.
Watch him come out and double right away.
Oh, that'd be funny. Two to the ball. There you go.
How long did that last? I was like, that thing will whip right around to Kelsey or somebody freely, like, close out too slow. I think a part of Asia's game that doesn't get celebrated a ton for me is her willingness to be physical. Right? And so when you ask that, Steve, I'm like, let me think. And I'm a big fan of Esme Megagor, but I don't know if she is as physical or willing to be as physical as Asia. I think she'll mix it up, but then I just have to give Asia the advantage in terms of strength. Obviously, she and Stewie don't quite match up 1v1 just because of how the flow of the game. But Asia, like, she's going to blow through some contact. She's going to make the right reads. I think your best bet, if you're the son, you got to find somebody that's willing to embrace that alongside her. And not necessarily in terms of foul trouble, but just hit wear and tear, you know what I'm saying? Jordan Rule-esque, right? Like, just make her feel you.
And just circling back to the scheme thing, this is also why I'm intrigued with, even with that matchup, like, who gets that matchup? Because if you're talking about the physicality, like, from a physical standpoint, like, Tina Charles is more equipped to deal with Asia Wilson in some of the power drives that she takes from the mid-post. But also, if the Aces are involving her in pick and rolls and, like, she's picking and popping now because she's finally allowed to shoot threes, not going to be on my soapbox, then I don't know if you want Tina Charles in that matchup. And just from a scheme perspective, again, the Storm have gone from more, hey, we're at the level, we're hedging out, we're going to create havoc, to, okay, we're just going to switch and then scram out if necessary. Like, they've been very good at switching anything involving Sue Bird and then just kicking her out of the matchup. And so I wonder just, one, can the Aces execute against that? Like, can they be a quick hitting team and get a matchup they want, dive in and then force the Storm to react from there? But beyond that, like, how comfortable are the Storm doing that against Asia? Because these last few games that she's had against them, it almost hasn't mattered who she's seen in front of her because she's had an answer for
her. Absolutely right. I don't know, the thing that makes me a little bit hesitant on the scramble is how many folks can also attack off the bounce for the aces. And I'm saying, like, it's, you can scramble to a shooter, I could test, but can I scramble when you're already two dribbles in? Like, but we'll see.
We gonna see. I can't wait, y'all.
I also can't wait. All right, to close this out, got to get series predictions and we'll let you go.
Oh, no. I'm not ready.
Ooh.
I'm not ready.
Well, we'll give you the series prediction with an asterisk. You have the right to change your mind before Sunday's action. But first all thoughts, right, on a Thursday night. Who do you have in the Sky Sun series? How many games?
First thought on a Thursday night, I think I got the Sky over the Sun. I just think, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, Suns could have the out of her mind series and we can forget about Jasmine Thomas. I don't think that that's likely. And the Sky, you said it earlier, Steve, they just continue to find a way. And they're good. Like, I think in our conversation, we didn't even mention Ka, like, Khalil Kafer. Like, that didn't even come up in our conversation. There's just weapon after weapon. I mean, I think we talked about Rebecca Gardner being on the rookie team, but, like, it's just so many weapons there. I think I got Sky.
This one, oh, God. This one is tough, y'all. How can we make predictions that we don't know who's healthy?
That's a good question.
In the second series.
I can. Storm and four.
Oh, all right.
Storm and four?
What's up, Nikias? What's good? What's happening?
I mean, I guess we'll see next week. I don't know.
Is that a by far, Steve? Storm and four by far? Or
Storm or by far? No, I can't do that. That's wow. Disgusting behavior. Wow. How do you? Nothing's that by far. Get out of here.
Storm and four. I do. Oh, are we supposed to do numbers too?
Yes.
demanded the numbers.
Hey, right. I did ask. It's fine.
I'm gonna take Sky in four, and I think the other one's going five. I just don't know who. There's a part of me. I think I'm going Jason, but I'm not very confident. I got five great games. That's my prediction.
Ooh.
The fans. I said aces.
The fans win.
The fans. Exactly. Win. The fans and the advertising folks.
Goodness. Steve, you've given us Storm and four. Who do you have in the Sky Sun series?
Sky and four.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then to close it out, I also have the Sky and four. On the Kalia Copper front, just a quick note. Like, I was intrigued, please, by the coverage that she saw. Big girl, because I'm thinking, okay, Khalil Kafer's been seeing unders all year. I go to the Connecticut matchup, I'm like, wait, they're like at the level and like stringing it out and forcing her to get rid of it. It's like, they must really want to cut off the drives from her, or they want to take away the rescreen opportunities to let her get downhill. So that was interesting to me.
God, when she gets downhill, whoo, then finishes at the rim, whoo.
Yeah, it's just kind of a tough scene. But I'm going to take the Sky in four. Like, one, I do think they're better than the Sun, but also I just don't have a lot of faith in the guards to perform at the level they need to for the Sun to pull that off. As for the other series, like, obviously help permitting, but I am going to roll with the aces. I want to go aces in four.
Okay. Okay, y'all.
All right.
Gonna take the
personally, I'll be in LA and the Rams open up on the same night that would be game five. So I wouldn't be mad if we don't get five.
Quick flex, I feel you.
But if we get fives, that means we just had a great series. So I could be in either place. It's all good.
Are you going to be in the same suite as Aaron Donald? Because I don't know if he's going to be playing to that one after the whole helmet thing.
Man, boy. I don't know. But I will reach out to my friends at the ramp, see what happens.
All righty then. Monica, where can the people find you, your work, and all of the things that you're into now?
Well, excuse me, y'all. We'll start here Sunday at, I don't know the game times yet. That's terrible. But we got an hour-long pregame show before the first game, and then I'll be in studio and kicking it, having a blast, enjoying this great playoff. So find me on TV near you. Look for the last name first on all the socials. It'll pop up.
There we go. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you have not already, please subscribe to us. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Podbean. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. You can find me on Twitter at NikiasNBA. You can find Steve on Twitter at SteveJones20. And with that, we will catch y'all next week.
Wait, he was swinging two helmets?